yourself from Project to CEO.
Okay, well, so since an appreciable number of you might not know either what quadraticity is or what the pure virtual grade group is, I will start out explaining quadraticity, which is a pretty general kind of concept. The next box down here, expansions, is an explanation of how quadraticity fits into a concept that is maybe a little better known. And then I will explain the pure virtual grade group and go from there. So let me zero in. Okay, so quadraticity, the context here is an augmented algebra K, but in applications it's always a group ring of some group. So I take G to be some free some group generated by a set X modulo a subgroup N. K is the group ring. And then I take as the augmentation ideal for QG, or K, the usual one for a group ring. And G, or K, is said to be quadratic if the associated gradient that you take, that you get by considering the filtration of K by powers of the augmentation ideal, if you look at the associated gradient, you want that to be quadratic in the sense that, well, it's graded, but and it's also generated in degree one, but are all of its relations generated in degree two? So the group is said to be quadratic if that is true. A different way of saying more or less the same thing is, we define something called the quadratic approximation, which I denote by Q of Gur-K. And that is the quotient of the tensor algebra on the degree one piece of the graded. So that's IK mod IK squared. So that's what I call V. And by the ideal generated by the quadratic relations, so that being the relations or the kernel of this map. This map is just the multiplication map that in the gradient. And the quadratic relations are the kernel of that. So the quadratic approximation is this quotient. And by construction, there is a surjection from the quadratic approximation into the gradient. And quadraticity is a statement that this is an isomorphism. So let me first explain what can go wrong. Like, why wouldn't this always be true? Like, what can go wrong? And there's sort of a trivial kind of example of what can go wrong in the sense that you can easily find zillions of groups whose associated graded will have relations starting in degree three or higher. So the quadratic approximation is not going to see any of that. And the way to do that is if G is the quotient of some free group by relations which sit inside this. So this is the third term of the lower essential series. The parentheses are the usual commutators. And one can show that the associated gradient will end up being some free algebra on essentially the same generators, And the relations of this form will go down into relations of this form.
What's A?
Pardon me?
What is A?
Free algebra.
Oh.
Yeah. Free group goes to some free quotient of a free algebra, and basically the group commutators go to algebra commutators. And so in this case, these are cubic. The quadratic approximation is not going to see any of this. At a more or less trivial level, what can go wrong is, I'll illustrate with an example, which is not really a true group example, but it still illustrates the point. So let's say that, I'll really get to this later, but let's say N is generated by some set of words gamma. Gamma is a set of words in the alphabet X. And let's say gamma has two elements. And let's say that the element alpha it is actually the following. So when you go from the free group into the group algebra, the element alpha becomes the following, x squared plus y cubed. So let's say that x in this case is has three elements, x, y, z. And suppose beta goes to minus x squared plus z cubed. Then if you add the two up, you will get y cubed plus z cubed. Now, if you continue on from here and see what happens when you pass the associated graded, this term will drop out. So when you go to the associated graded, you just get a relation that is x squared. Similarly, here you'll get x squared. Here you'll get y cubed plus z cubed. And this thing is not in the ideal generated by the x squared. So you're, again, quadraticity will fail in this example. Now, this is not an actual example from a group. And I actually don't know any non-trivial examples where quadraticity fails, but this is what could theoretically sort of go wrong.
I'm a bit confused. So you're saying alpha and beta are like the relations in the group?
They are actually symbols that get mapped to the relations in the group.
In the algebra, not in the group.
In the algebra, yeah. This is a sort of thing that can go wrong when the relations in the algebra are non-homogeneous, which they very typically will be. And so you can have this kind of funny cancellation. Okay, so that's quadraticity. Let me briefly discuss what this is a special case of. So this brings up the concept of an expansion for a group. And an expansion is a homomorphic. Let me sort of step back for a second. K, I mentioned, is filtered by powers of the augmentation ideal. Q or K is actually graded, and the graded induces a filtration as well. So you can ask whether there is a filtered homomorphism from K into the quadratic approximation. And that will be an expansion if the following additional requirement is met, namely that when you look at the graded of that map, so from Gur K into the quadratic approximation, you want Gur-Z to be the identity in degree 1. So let's suppose, what does this mean about Z? Let's say X is one of the generators, then what this is saying is that X must get sent to something of the following form. So remember that X is a group element, meaning that it'll have an inverse. So whatever its image is, had better be invertible. So we're starting it with a 1. X tilde is the following, X minus 1 mod ik squared. Okay, so this is an element in the quadratic approximation, because this belongs to ik, and we're taking it 1 ik squared. And so the condition is that x must get mapped to 1 plus x tilde plus higher degree terms in either the x tilde or z tildes for other generators z. And this has the required property, because equivalently x minus 1 gets set to x tilde plus higher degree. And so in the graded, it just is the identity in degree 1.
How is this quadratic approximation is related to pro-uniformity completion of the group?
It is the pro-uniformity completion of the group.
Which is known to be universal European of the group allele.
Right. So if you take the pro-uniformity completion of the group, look at its Lie algebra and then its universal enveloping algebra.
Yeah.
This is, okay, so then take the graded of that. This is the quadratic approximation to that.
Okay. So kind of the iteration factors through pro-uniformity completion. So you kind of lose the information before pro-uniformity completion.
Yeah, I think that's right. Assuming there's any information lost. So, okay, so that's what an expansion is. But notice in particular that this implies quadraticity, because the map mu itself just sends generators to generators. Like it sends one of these x tildes to itself. And then Gerzet just sends it back to the same place. So, and that's a homomorphism. Which shows that mu must in fact have been injective, so mu is an isomorphism. So the existence of an expansion implies quadraticity, but it is actually stronger. The classic example of an expansion is the Concievich integral in the case of the Braid group. So that, and that's stronger than the corresponding than just quadraticity. The thing with the group that I'm talking about today, PVBN, is that it has been shown that it does not have an expansion. So that's hopeless, and sort of all we can, but one can nevertheless hope for second best, which is that it's quadratic, and that turns out to be true. So that's what I will be showing today, or sketching today, really. Okay, so what is the pure virtual Braid group? Well, the answer is that it has, if you're familiar with the presentation for the Braid group, it's almost the same presentation. So you may recall that the Braid group has a presentation of the following form. So generator sigma I, where sigma I corresponds to strand I going over its neighbor to the right. And then there are relations, the Rademeister 3 and some commutativities. And what the pure virtual Braid group is if instead of just allowing a strand to go over its neighbor to the right, allow a strand to go over any other strand. So that would be let this be strand J, this is strand I, then we'll call the generator Rij this strand. So I is somehow getting into position just to the left of J, it passes over it, and then it comes back, and these crossings here are called virtual crossings. They aren't really there, but we just sort of artificially allow ourselves to have this kind of break. And the pure virtual break group is what you get with the same presentation with that, you know, with just allowing these extra generators. So that's what I've gone through here. Just going through the story, IK is the augmentation ideal. It's generated by what I call Rij bars, which are differences, exactly like here I get x minus 1, I'm taking Rij minus 1, and that gives me, I call them x tilde over here. Not quite x tilde. X tilde is one of those things mod IK squared. So Rademeister 3, if you substitute, Rademeister 3 is a group relation. To get an algebra relation, you do the substitution. Rij goes to Rij bar plus 1. And this will actually give you an expression in terms of elements of IK. So that's what I've done here. And the relation that I wrote up here ends up having two cubic terms in the R bars, and then a whole bunch of quadratic terms in the R bars. And then it turns out that all the linear terms in the R bars cancel. That's fairly easy to see because it corresponds to just replacing, you have exactly the same generators on each side. So the linear terms end up canceling and the degree zero terms cancel. So this is what you get as a relation for Rademeister 3 in the algebra. And then passing to the associated graded, you just end up with the lowest degree terms, the degree 2. So that's what is called the classic Yang-Baxter relation. It's a sum of commutators. And then you also have these commutation relations. So PVBN is what is I was calling the quadratic approximation. And it's just the free algebra on generators Rij, little Rij. So that's these R bars mod IK squared. And I factor out the graded versions of the algebra.
So you're saying that this, in this case, this associated graded is a universe enveloping algebra of this Lie algebra?
Not quite.
So the quadratic approximation is the universe enveloping algebra of this Lie algebra.
Yeah. The quadratic approximation of the universal enveloping algebra. Sorry.
If you look at the thing, so this associated graded of K, it will have generators Rij bar.
Same generators, that's right.
And at least some of its relations, these are relations, these are all the quadratic relations there.
Yeah.
But there might be more.
Higher degree relations.
And the question is whether there's higher degree relations.
Right.
But this thing, so the quadratic approximation would just have these relations, and so it would just be the enveloping algebra of this Lie algebra.
Why is it Lie algebra?
This is a free algebra, not Lie algebra. I'm defining PVBN.
Yeah, but isn't it a universal enveloping algebra of a Lie algebra?
It is a universal enveloping algebra of a Lie algebra,
yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
That sounds good.
Of the Hollow one.
I mean, it's Lie algebra with these versions.
Yes.
I mean, they're just commutating everything.
Yeah.
Does that always happen? Is it quadratic?
Not quite always. Does what always happen?
I mean, are all the relations,
they will always
all the quadratic relations commutators?
Yes. for if you start with the group, you always get commutator relations. Absolutely.
Why is it?
Why? Basically, what I've erased. It's because if you start with something that is in the commutator ideal of the group, I don't know if you're familiar with the Maltsev-Lie algebra, but that first term gets mapped into the first piece of the Maltsev-Lie algebra. So I mean, it has its relations are just sums of commutators.
Because it's exactly what I asked. This iteration actually passes through the Maltsev completion.
So I have a criterion, or at least the criterion exists for when the associated gradient will be quadratic. And to state the criterion, let me just remind, I mentioned, well, let's call F the free algebra on the same set of generators as the group. IF is its augmentation ideal. And I will assume that when you grind through the procedure, that the group algebra is F modulo some ideal, which actually lives in IF squared. So it will always be in the augmentation ideal, but I'm assuming it's in the square of the augmentation ideal. This is just for simplicity of presentation. It's not a required condition. So it doesn't restrict anything, but it makes the presentation a lot simpler. And certainly in the case of PVBN, it is true, because you may recall that all of the generators had all of the relations that we ended up with were of degree 2. So, or I should say up here, yeah, of degree 2 at least. So it's certainly true in that case. Okay. Epsilon is this set of symbols which generates the idea of relations under some map del. And so two observations here. By definition, X generates K, but it's actually not too hard to see that it also generates Q ger K, the quadratic approximation. And so the reason for that is that if you start with some generator X, then this X tilde defined as follows is one of the generators in the quadratic approximation, and you know, you get all of it this way. So X generates K and the quadratic approximation. And similarly, epsilon, by definition, generates M, but it also generates all of the quadratic relations.
Is this a set, or is it
not? It's a set of symbols that get mapped to actual relations. I call it a set of symbols because I want it to be able to say that it generates both. Okay, so in other words, X and epsilon can be interpreted two ways. And the criterion is the following. First let me recall the notion of a syzygy. So a syzygy is a relation between relations. Or to put it differently, there's a map from the two-sided ideal generated by epsilon over F. Into F, which just replaces each of the symbols in epsilon by the corresponding relation, So that's the first step. And then you can continue going on to the associated graded just by passing to the graded. And that's the process that, I went through with PVPN just a minute ago. And a syzygy is just an element of the kernel. Well, a syzygy of the quadratic approximation is an element of the kernel of that composition. And a syzygy of K is an element of the kernel of the first map. And the so-called PVH criterion is that the group will be quadratic if and only if an element of this kernel is already an element of this kernel. So if it's zero, if you get something goes to zero after the two steps, then it already went to zero after one step. That's the criterion. I'll go through what it means in the specific case of PVPN in a second. But let me just note that Hutchings first came up with it in the specific context of the braid group. So he proved quadraticity of the braid group using this technique. What you'll see here today, sketchily, is a generalization of his proof. But it turns out that Posetselsky and Vichik also came up with a criterion equivalent to this generalized criterion, although they kind of their presentation is a little bit different in that they deal with coalgebras where I deal with algebras, and they deal with cohomology where I deal with generators and relations. But it's equivalent, at least in the case of the finitely generated case. So they have their theorem these are the two sources. So what does this mean in the case of the pure virtual braid groups? Actually, maybe you can flip your page over so what I've drawn here is this is a syzygy of the group and of the algebra. So it's something that you might have seen before. The braids that you see depicted here are all the same, but they have undergone successively one of the allowed moves. In other words, Rademeister 3 or commutativity as you go around the circle. So all the braids are the same, and it turns out that there's, if you go up the right side or you go up the left side, it's a different series of moves, but they lead you to the same place. So what does it mean that that is a syzygy of the algebra? So going around the circle, there were these braids, which I've denoted B1, B2, etc. And a particular arrow corresponds at the group level to the statement that braid B is equal to braid B prime. And that means that when you look in the algebra, the difference B minus B prime is going to be sitting inside what I call del of F epsilon epsilon. So in other words, if you take one of the generators of relations, potentially pre or post multiply by some braids, and apply delta, then that you get one of these B minus B primes. But at the same time, like I mentioned, when you go up the left or the right side, you start with B1, you end up with B8 either way. And that means that when you take this take the series of differences corresponding to the arrows, this is the telescopic sum, and everything vanishes. So the result is zero, and so this amounts to exhibiting an element of the kernel of that one map. This is an element of the kernel of delta. So this in turn induces obviously an element of the other kernel, just because if you're already zero at one step, then it's zero at the second step. But more concretely, what that amounts to saying is replace the generators RHA by this, expand, pass the associated gradient, and you will end up with a syzygy of the quadratic approximation as well. And the substantive content of what's left really is that all of the, and I say non-trivial syzygies in the quadratic approximation arise in this exact way. In other words, they all arise from the picture that I just showed on the other side of the page, or relabelings of it with different indices. But all of the interesting syzygies of the quadratic algebra come from that particular group syzygy. Now there's a whole bunch of trivial syzygies that hold in both K and the quadratic approximation, and they correspond to situations like one of the relations is that you can commute the heights of two crossings like this, but if you add in a third, let's say you add in a, so I'll use this notation to denote the Rademeister 3 move, which is no longer on the board. You can commute these as well. So you can apply first the Rademeister move, and then this commutativity, or the other way. And because these are sitting on all different strands, it should be fairly clear that this kind of syzygy will exist both in the group algebra and in the quadratic approximation. So there's a number of sort of trivial syzygies, and the only non-trivial ones are these. And the criterion is met, but in order to prove this, one needs to have a handle on what the syzygies of the quadratic approximation are. So this is kind of a whole different story. It turns out there's a very good and more or less straightforward way to compute the syzygies of the quadratic approximation. So I won't do that right now, but one can show that these are all of the quadratic algebra's non-trivial syzygies. So, okay. Now let me give a sketch of the, possibly even a proof of the criterion. So by definition, F is the free algebra on this set X. But you can do a kind of change of variables and view F as, sorry. So by definition, it's the tensor algebra on this set X. But by a change of variables, essentially, you can view this as the tensor algebra on the set X tilde, where X tilde is the collection of all differences X minus 1 for X and X. And I will actually take the completion of F. So from now on, F is the completed tensor algebra on X tilde. So this is graded, namely it's the sum of X tilde to the P. And there's a corresponding filtration by X tilde to the greater or equal to P. So that's a decreasing filtration. And then let me also introduce some notation for the relations. So the set Gothic capital R is this two-sided module generated by epsilon. And if we say that elements of epsilon have degree 2, then R inherits a grading from F, and in turn that induces a filtration. So then we come to this nasty looking diagram. So let's start out going along the bottom, or this row here. X tilde greater or equal P plus 1 includes into X tilde greater or equal to P. It's just missing the lowest degree term. And the quotient is obviously that lowest degree term. So that's this row here. And then entirely analogously at the level of R, you have the corresponding statement up here. So the rows are exact, and there are maps coming down, which are the dells that I mentioned before, and in the case on the right-hand side, it's Gerdell. So next, I add this row of co-kernels. So at the bottom, I've added co-kernels. So this is just, this term is just this modulo of this, and this is just this modulo of this. The only slightly different thing is that I've mentioned that the co-kernel you get here is actually the quadratic approximation. So there's a map from X tilde to V, which is essentially I have my I F squared, which sends X minus 1 to X minus 1 mod you just take mod ik squared. And this is actually an isomorphism, and in fact, in all degrees, it gives you an isomorphism. So the tensor algebra Tx tilde can also be viewed as being the tensor algebra on D with this identification. So we could view this as TV, and we're quotienting out by the associated derivative of the relations in degree 2. So that is exactly the quadratic approximation. Lastly, I add in a row of kernels at the top. And let me just point out that, so Kerr-Gerdell is the syzygies of the quadratic approximation. And up here we have the syzygies of the algebra. Okay, so now in any kind of diagram of this sort, we can apply the snake lemma, which gives a map going from the top right down to the bottom left. And so I've written out here the long exact sequence that you get. And we can start to extract consequences from all this. Okay. So the first one is just kind of a trivial observation that the last term in this sequence is the quotient of the two previous ones. So that's what I wrote as number one here. Second point is, if you look at these maps mu p, you can keep going. You can apply mu p minus 1, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's this composition that I've written here. The last term that you end up with in x tilde greater or equal 0 modulo del of r greater or equal 0, which is just f over del r, which is k. So you end up mapping into k, but since you started with at least p powers, you will end up with p powers here. So this composition is actually getting mapped into the ik to the p, so the p power of the augmentation idea. And this is onto as well. I think that's so. There's this onto map. And so the question is, under what circumstances are they the same? And they are the same precisely when the composition is injective. And if for all p, so here's I, this is the same I have here, the rho p will be injective for all p if and only if the mu p's are injective for all p. So that's part one. And then if you look back at the long exact sequence, injectivity of mu p means that the kernel is zero, and in turn means that this pi p here is surjective, its co-kernel is zero. So that means that this is surjective. And surjectivity of this map is just, again, the statement that every syzygy of the quadratic algebra is induced from the syzygy of the algebra, which is the PDH criterion. So putting this all together, if the PDH criterion holds, this map rho p is an isomorphism for all p's, so that's what I wrote here. Ik to the p is just this quotient of these guys. And then you can plug that into the associated gradient. The p piece is this quotient, which is this quotient, which is just the p piece of the quadratic approximation. So voila. Um, Now, the nice thing and what really makes this whole program actually work in practice is the fact that for suitable algebra groups, including this group, there is an effective procedure for determining what all of the syzygies of the quadratic algebra are. So what that is that the quadratic algebra can be shown to have the property of, quote, Kozulness. I think I have time to just give a quick overview of what that's all about. But the upshot is, for any group whose quadratic approximation is Kozul, it turns out to be that one only needs to determine the degree 3 syzygies of the quadratic approximation. And this is a finite calculable thing. So in the presence of Kozulness, this becomes something that can actually be implemented in finite time, checked in finite time. All right, so what is this Kozulness story? Otherwise, the problem would be that you might be able to find all the degree 3 syzygies, but you don't know if there's any qualitatively new ones that could arise in degree 4, 5, 6, etc. So Kozulness puts a stop to all that. So what is Kozulness? I won't give the full spiel, but let's look at this sequence here. At the right end, these terms, it's really just a definition. So this quadratic algebra PVBN, I defined in degree P to be the quotient of, you know, the pth power of V by relations. And these RPIs are just the degree P relations that are induced by the quadratic one. So that's things of this form. So the exactness here and here is just by definition. And then one can extend this to the left by putting the sum of these intersections in. What are the maps? So the maps are kind of the obvious maps. This intersection maps into RPI, and that in turn includes into V tensor P, and there's two ways of going. So you just, the fact that, you know, mapping twice goes to zero is just the fact that if you go around this diagram with adding these signs, you could get zero. And the question is, you know, could it be that this is actually, the sequence is exact here? And for Kozulness, that is the case. In fact, that is a definition of two Kozulness. There's n Kozulness for every n, in the sense that there's a certain natural way to extend this sequence indefinitely to the left. And Kozulness is that that sequence is exact all the way. Two Kozulness is exactness here, and that's all that I need for present purposes. So what this is saying is that the syzygies of the quadratic algebra are precisely given by this space here. So what is that space? Suitably enough, it's the bottom line. So there's two cases. Firstly, I and J are far apart, meaning they're at least two apart. And in that case, the intersection of those of the RPI and the RPJ must take this form. So you must have R in position I, another R in position J, and there's no overlap between the two. And the fact that this would give a syzygy is fairly clear. But the point is that these will lift easily to the algebra level because you could write the same spaces replacing V by by x tilde, and r by del of omega, del of epsilon. Okay, those are the algebra relations. And again, so long as they are, the relations that you get are far apart, there's not going to be any intersection between them. The interesting case is where the two relations are adjacent. So this is the RPI intersect RPI plus one case. And what's really happening here is you have a whole bunch of tensor powers of V on one side and on the other side, and in the middle, you just have R tensor V intersect V tensor R. So this part is just in degree 3. And so the upshot from here is that, leaving aside the trivial first line type syzygies, all of the interesting syzygies are already generated in degree 3. And then there are effective ways to compute what these syzygies are, which I won't go into, but this at least explains how the reduction to degree 3 goes. So, and I'm out of time, so.
I have a question, but it's kind of naive. Why would you fight for quadraticity here? What would follow from quadraticity? And maybe you would also explain these words about conservative integral and quadraticity.
The conservative integral
and the expansion. What do you mean?
Well. That's probably deserving of a lecture in itself.
Okay, forget about conservative integral. What is quadraticity good for? So why would people be interested in some groups being quadratic?
That's a very good question. I don't know. I guess the fact that it's a part of a better known concept, which is this idea of an expansion. An expansion gives you, and in fact, a quadraticity gives you a universal finite type invariant. So that's one answer. A universal finite type invariant is an invariant, I guess, in a certain sense, through which every finite type invariant of the group factors. So it's good that way. Quadraticity will do that. The difference between the two is whether it's homomorphic. So with a homomorphic expansion, you just need to specify the image of generators, and then the value of any group element is then determined. But that's not how it works with quadraticity. It's not homomorphic in that way. So you do get a universal finite type invariant out of
quadraticity.
A different way of saying this, which I didn't go through at all really, let's look at the expansion box. There is an analogous picture that one could draw where instead of K, and this goes back to the question you had earlier, so K is a filtered space. It's the completed group algebra of some group. So from that group, one gets a Hopf algebra structure. And you can look at the Lie algebra of primitives. And this Lie algebra of primitives, so-called Maltsev Lie algebra, one could replace this K by the Maltsev Lie algebra, and in turn replace this space by the Lie algebra you were talking about. And one can ask whether there is a homomorphic, a filtered homomorphism of Lie algebras from the Maltsev Lie algebra into that Lie algebra. which is the identity, whose graded is the identity in degree one. And that is essentially the concept of one formality of a group, up to the fact that it's not always true. So more exactly, formality would be the statement that, so MG is that Maltsev-Lie algebra I was talking about. Formality is the existence of a filtered Lie algebra homomorphism into, more exactly, a holonomial Lie algebra of the group G, whose associated graded is the identity in degree one. And certainly, for example, in the case of PVBN, the holonomial Lie algebra is isomorphic to the primitives of this Q or K, where I haven't really explained how to take progress, but there's a corresponding, the Lie algebra you were talking about. So this isomorphism is true for PVBN, and it is true more generally for any group whose rational homology is a finite type. So that's a theorem of Sullivan and others. And so for those groups, what I'm talking about here is exactly a universal enveloping algebra analog of one formality. So if you care about one formality, that's the reason you might care about it. Well, it's a graded group. Quadraticity is a graded version of one formality.
Can I offer...
But is there such an isomorphism?
Yes.
In this case?
In the case of PVBN, yeah.
By and proved by your method or by some other method.
Pardon me?
So is this a stronger statement, the fact that there's such a thing?
It sort of is because
in quadraticity? Is that what you're saying? Which one is stronger, sorry,
But it's it's equivalent to what I proved. This statement the isomorphism here is equivalent to what I heard.
Oh, equivalent.
Yeah.
And why is that?
Why is that? The only, I guess, the leaving aside this question of whether the holonomial Lie algebra is the same as this, the only difference between this and an expansion is, well, the existence of one formality implies expansion because you can just go from the Lie algebra to the universal enveloping algebra and you get a filtered homomorphism as well. Going in the other direction is a little harder because you don't a priori know that this filtered homomorphism respects the coproduct, the Hopf-Algebra structure. So, but if it does respect the Hopf-Algebra structure, then the two are equivalent. Then you get one of these back. At the level of the gradients, the maps always respect the Hopf-Algebra structure. You're just sending generators to generators. Okay, so and so that the Hopf-Algebra structure is automatically satisfied. So that's why this is equivalent to whatever.
So you're saying what you proved is equivalent to the fact this map, the algebra is.
Yeah.
And what about for this pure cactus group?
Oof. Yeah. Well, I would love to do that just for the pure cactus group, but there's a couple of problems in the way. One is this whole story starts with having a good presentation for the group. And there's a presentation for the cactus group, but not the pure cactus group, as far as I know. And there may not be a good one. I've fudged over some details Well, I mentioned them, but okay, so one detail that could turn out to be important for the peer practice group here. So remember, I assumed that the relations are generated in degree two. And you have a lot of generators for the peer practice group, but they end up being redundant. And the end result of that is you're going to end up with a lot of linear relations. So this will not a priori be true. And basically, things start to get messy starting from there. So that's one reason. The second reason is you don't know yet whether the corresponding quadratic approximation is Kazuo. Okay, so there's two problems turned off the top.
But there, I mean, if my memory checks me correctly, this kind of analogous thing of Lie algebra was conjectural.
Yeah, totally. In your paper, yeah, they conjectured that this is true. Yeah. This is true.
Yeah, this. Yeah, yeah.
You proved that this is not true.
Yeah.
So you proved that it was not informal, but you
conjectured
it.
Any other questions? Let's thank you.